Okay, we ready? Okay, let's bow our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. Father, we come before you, Lord, that we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for eternal life through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for our physical life. We know that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And Father, help us to continue to take in the Word of God so that our inward man may be renewed, that we might be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, putting on the full armor of God. Father, we pray, Lord, for the believers here this evening that they might concentrate on the teaching of your Word, receive it with humility, and you might continue to help them to grow in your grace and then knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's to Him be all praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're going to cover the subject this evening. What can a Christian lose as a believer? And we've been dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, and we notice that the judgment seat of Christ, or the judgment for the Christian called the Bema, is different and distinct from the great white throne judgment. At the coming or the rapture of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ will evaluate the believer's works to see whether he will be rewarded or lose reward. Whereas the great white throne judgment, unsaved people will be, their destiny will be determined whether or not they will be written in the book of life. And two separate judgments. This one is for believers. But we notice also that a believer can fail to finish the race. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And we'll look at here verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Now, who are all the runners? Saved people. Okay, saved people. But one receives the prize. And the one who finishes the race receives a prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, Paul here is concerned about self-control. He keeps his body under discipline. He makes it his slave, lest when he preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Was Paul worried about losing his salvation? No, that's not the context. Paul was worried about being disqualified for the race, like a runner running out of bounds. And God would say, no reward, no prize. And I mentioned last week, I think, Lance Armstrong. And he won 7 Tour de France's, and he was doping. And he had all those prizes, all those removed, because he didn't play according to the rules. So a Christian can be disqualified from reward. Also, a Christian can live a selfish life, a carnal life, and therefore also lose rewards. A Christian can get into false teaching. You know, another disqualifier is false teaching. Colossians 2:18. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. And in the book of Colossians, especially this chapter 2, the Apostle Paul deals with legalism. He deals with asceticism, thinking you're spiritual because you give up things for Jesus. He deals with antinomianism. But here he's dealing with mysticism. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, including into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. These are Christians running around claiming they have visions. God told them that, opposed to the Word of God. These are individuals that are really not interested in the Word of God, but they're interested in their experience, what they felt. I felt this. I spoke in tongues. You know, I saw this angel standing before me. This is not the true Christian life. This is a false view of the Christian life. And if you allow these mystics to control your thinking, You won't live the true Christian life and produce rewardable works. So these false teachers can rob you of your reward by destroying your Christian life, distracting you. Satan has a lot of distractions for the believer, including false doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:12. 2 Timothy 2:12. A believer can end up denying the Lord. If we endure, we shall reign with him. Notice, rulership with Christ in the kingdom is based on perseverance. The perseverance is not guaranteed. We're not guaranteed to finish the race. And this is where the Calvinistic view that all believers will persevere. If a believer doesn't persevere in holiness, they say he was never saved in the first place. That view is clearly false. But if we do persevere, we'll reign with him. We finish the race. What do we say no to Christ as a Christian? Notice he says if we. He's not talking about the unbelievers denying the Lord. He says if we deny him. He will deny us. Deny us of what? Our salvation? No, he can't. And that's why, by the way, it's interesting. In verse 13, he says he cannot deny himself. His promises to the believer. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So what is this denial? This denial is the denial of reigning with him. When it comes to his kingdom, we will be in the kingdom, but we won't have positions of authority in the kingdom. He will say no to us, so we can therefore miss out on our reward. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation 3:11. Here the Philadelphia church speaks of the believer who is to persevere in light of Christ's return. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. Now, he doesn't mean that if we receive a crown, we can afterward lose it. I don't believe any reward that you obtain can be lost. It's yours. But this is a reward for continuing to the end. And he's saying, sort of like a runner, two runners running. And one runner is ahead of the other, and the one's behind. And the other person yells and tries to distract the one in the front. He turns around, the other passes him, and guess who gets the prize? The other runner. You lose on the reward. And so the idea is not that we lose what we've already earned, but we lose the potential of earning a reward. Just like we saw through mysticism or false teaching in Colossians 2:18. So a believer can miss out on his reward if he doesn't continue, if he buys into false doctrine, or if he spends time in continual carnality. What else can a Christian lose? A Christian can lose peace. Isaiah 57:20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Now you say that, well, he's referring to the unsaved. Now, keep in mind, we'll see later with David, David mentions that a Christian can be wicked. A Christian can be wicked. Have you ever been by the seashore? Have you ever been down to Galveston? I usually think of Galveston as this example. At Galveston, the waters, generally speaking, are not clear like South Padre. You ever been down to South Padre? A little clearer water, wouldn't you say, compared to Galveston. Galveston's kind of muddy. So when the tide comes in, dirt on the bottom stirs up, and the water comes in muddy, right? It comes in kind of not clear. And it's like standing on the seashore watching the waves come in. The wicked are like the troubled sea. There's always movement. There's no calm, still water. Usually have calm, still water. It's clear. Whose waters cast up what? Dirt and mire, muck. And so the wicked is never stable. They can never have peace. They're always in turmoil. They're always unresting. They're always experiencing unrest. Verse 21 says, "There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked." So the Christian not walking with the Lord is never content, never satisfied, always troubled, always disturbed. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be, only the fruit of the Spirit can produce peace in your life. And the world cannot provide that peace. And that's why we have to reject the things of the world. Galatians 5:22. Clearly it's the Spirit of God that produces these qualities in us. And one of the benefits of walking in fellowship is we are controlled by the Spirit. And when the Spirit controls us, fruit will be produced. You have to abide in the vine for fruit to be produced. And Jesus talks about abiding in the vine in John 15 to produce fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, agape love, joy, and peace. Peace is only produced through the believer as he abides in fellowship. It's produced by the Spirit of God. And so if I'm living in wickedness, I'm living outside of fellowship, the Spirit of God cannot produce fruit because he's not controlling me. When we speak of the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Spirit's control. The Spirit indwells us. That doesn't change. That's a constant. But does the Spirit control us? And that's where we're filled with the Spirit. When the Spirit does control us, if we're walking by faith, spiritual fruit will be produced through us. A third thing a Christian can lose is fellowship. Obviously, when we sin, we break fellowship. Now, turn to Psalm 51, and we're going to camp out in this song and in Psalm 32. We're going to deal with David's experience. Now, I'm not going to go over the whole story, but most of you have read the story of David and Bathsheba and understand what went on. David was out one night. If you look at the city of Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount was higher than other homes. So when the king's palace on the Temple Mount, he's standing there, he had a perfect vantage point to look down on people's homes and even on the rooftops. If people went up to bathe or whatever, he could see down into the courtyard. And so Daniel was up one night, and he has a clear vantage point. He sees a woman bathing, you know, and this woman was very beautiful Bathsheba. And so he lusted after her, and he called for that woman. And, you know, the woman would naturally be responsive to the king, so that she came with the king, and they had sexual relations, and she was pregnant. And then once Bathsheba was pregnant, her husband was in the army or in the was a soldier, and there was given commands to his leader to send him out into the battle, and so that he would be killed. He actually tried two or three things before he was killed. He tried to call him home, you know, hey, you know, come home from the battle, you know, go ahead, eat with your wife, whatever, you know. Thought that he would sleep with his wife normally, and then if she's found pregnant later, guess whose child everyone would think? It would be the husband's. They wouldn't know anything about it. So he tried to cover up. He tried to cover up three times. Three times he tried to cover up, and it failed. So finally it sends him out in the battle, and they retreat. So he goes up the front lines, and they call the army to fall back. And they fall back, he's killed. So I think everything's solved. Everything's great, right? I have Bathsheba, you know. It's not great. God knows about it. Therefore, God judged him severely. Severely. And we have a little bit of insight of what happened after David sinned and before he confessed his sin in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. But one of the consequences of that was he broke fellowship with God. He said, verse 11, "Do not cast me away from your presence." Now, obviously, casting away from your presence means I don't want my fellowship here to be broken permanently. Don't abandon me. He wants, now that he owns up to his sins, restoration of fellowship. And therefore, in the book of 1 John, 1 John 1, 6 and 7, and keep your place in Psalm 51, we're going to refer to that chapter quite often this evening. But 1 John tells us, if we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. Have you ever had a Christian tell you, I'm okay with God? And you say, well, you know, not what I hear is going on. You're going out on the weekend getting drunk. You're, you know, yelling at your wife. You're doing all these other things. You know, oh, I'm okay. I'm not as bad as my neighbor. Well, that's not how we compare our righteousness. Our standard is not someone else. Just because we're better than someone else doesn't mean we're okay with God. Our standard is God. God's perfect. That's our standard. And when we sin, we fall short of that perfect standard. Any sin could be a thought. And that's why we always have to acknowledge our sins. So we can't compare ourselves to others. So if we're saying we have fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, we're lying. But if verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Meaning, as we're walking in the light of God's word, sin is identified, and then we can confess it, and Christ can cleanse it. So walking in the light is something we should all constantly seek and desire, walking in the light of God's word. Remember Adam, when he sinned, what happened after Adam sinned? He hid himself. God and Adam walked daily in the garden. Here is that fellowship. What was the first thing broken when they sinned? Fellowship. Now Adam is away from God. Adam's distant from God. And he's hiding from God. Where are you, Adam? It wasn't because God didn't know where he was, like hide and seek, like kids. Where are you? God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. He wanted Adam to know, what happened, Adam? What happened to our fellowship? You missed your appointment and sin. And then he starts to blame someone else. And that's the worst thing you can do as a Christian. I had a bad week. I couldn't help it. That guy cut me off. I had to swear at him. I couldn't help it. You know, we always blame someone else for our sin. We excused it. Well, you know, my parents didn't treat me right growing up, and therefore, it's their fault. Really. No, it's not their fault. It's your fault. You remember, David will say, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So David takes responsibility. He says, I'm guilty. I'm the one that's wrong. I can't blame. What did Adam do, by the way? Adam blamed his wife Eve. The woman, actually says, the woman who you gave. Really, God, your fault. You created this beautiful woman, and, you know, I couldn't help it. I had to sin. And then the woman, who did she blame it on? She blamed it on the devil. You ever hear, the devil made me do it? No, the devil can't make you sin. The devil can tempt you. He cannot make you sin. You can put on the armor and resist him as a Christian. I can resist Satan. I don't have to be defeated by Satan. So we blame someone else instead of taking responsibility. And there's a lot of things people would like to do. Other things, we'll see David offering a sacrifice or doing a religious act. Let's do a kind deed to cancel out my sin. Those things are good, but first of all, you need to acknowledge you're wrong. You know, and people try to do religious things to try to cover their sin instead of doing what the Bible tells us to do. Own up to our sins. Confess them. Agree with God that it's sin. So when we sin, we automatically break our communion with God. Our fellowship is broken. Now another thing we can lose, number 4, is our privileged position. Psalm chapter 51, verse 11 and A. Not only did he say, do not cast me away from your presence, he says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now what does he mean by that? Well, you have to keep in mind the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was different than the New Testament. The New Testament ministry of the Spirit, since Pentecost, the Lord says the Spirit would abide with you forever. The Spirit indwells the believer forever. The Spirit cannot leave the believer. Sin does not cause the Spirit to leave, but sin can cause the Holy Spirit. You can lose the Spirit's control, or the Spirit controlling you, which is called the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I can lose the Spirit's control, the filling ministry, but I cannot lose the indwelling. But an important thing with kings in the Old Testament, the Spirit came on select individuals to enable them to accomplish things for God, such as lead a nation. The Spirit of God came upon Saul so that he would be an effective leader. The Spirit of God came upon David so that he'd be an effective leader. I think what David was saying is, I don't want that enabling power to leave me and I would have to lose my position as king. Remember, God took it away from Saul? He took that privileged position. I'm going to remove your kingship, Saul. And you're going to die. Someone else is going to take over. David says, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want the Spirit, that endowment, to be removed. So I can lose privileged positions. Now, applying this to the New Testament era, Paul, as an apostle, could lose his position as a leader, a godly influence in the church, or pastors who rebel against God and commit serious sins that do great damage to the body of Christ can lose their position as a leader in the church, lose the respect of the congregation. So it's a very serious thing that we maintain fellowship with the Lord. So I can lose my privileged position. I would also say this for the Christian. I think a Christian has a spiritual gift. The gift remains forever, but the gift is you're losing its effectiveness. And so I can have a gift, but I'm not really using it if I'm living for myself. And so many Christians don't even know what the gifts are, and how to use them in the body of Christ. And we're down the road, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to deal with spiritual gifts a few months down the road. Now, what else can a believer lose? Lose joy. Lose our joy. In Psalm 51, let's look at verse 12 first. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He didn't say restore salvation to me. He said restore to me the joy of your salvation. David lost his joy before he confessed his sins. Psalm 51:8, he says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. He was under God's discipline, and that was misery, wasn't joy, wasn't fun at all. Psalm 32, verse 10 and 11. Psalm 32, verse 10 and 11. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Now, in this context, David is speaking of rebellion and how he didn't listen to God. And so he speaks from personal experience here. He's not talking, I think, about a third party. He's saying believers can experience this. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you upright. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Meaning that you're not upright in your heart. There is something wrong here in your heart. I can't have the fullness of joy that God has for me. I can lose that joy. A believer can lose understanding of Scripture. Psalm 51, verse 13. Psalm 51, verse 13. He says, then I will treat, and he's talking about once I'm back in fellowship, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. But a believer outside of fellowship loses interest in the Word of God. And that's always a sign to me as a pastor, someone can care less about Bible teaching. They're, yeah, don't ask, okay. It's all right. It's something nice, moral. It's okay. It's not really a priority in my life. And there's always a warning sign. There's one thing I think of when a believer's not interested in the Word of God. Sin. S-I-N. There's something sinful in their life that blocks an interest or hunger for the Word of God. We should have a natural love for God's Word. We should read it every day. We should have a hunger. And something's wrong when we don't as a Christian. Look at Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 32, verses 7 and 8. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bits and bridles, else they will not come near you. You know, an animal can learn, a mule especially, go forward. Mule doesn't move. Go forward. So you have to smack the mule to go. Well, you want to be like a Christian, God tells you through the Word, don't do that, do this, and you say no. And then God has to set difficult circumstances in your life, like an animal, to move you along. Don't be like that. If you hear the Word of God and you say, okay, respect that, and you abide by its principles, you don't have to go down the road to discipline. Just like if a child hears, don't touch the stove. If they heed that, they don't get hurt. But they don't listen. They go over, touch the stove, their hands are burnt, they're crying, you know, and they have to learn through their rebellion. God doesn't want us to learn through rebellion and discipline. God wants us to prevent us from hurt by paying attention to the Word of God at the beginning. So, but a Christian, though, who lives in carnality will soon forget the doctrine he's learned. Hebrews 11, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 11, verses Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Paul had a lot to say to this congregation, or the the writer to the Hebrew, could have been Paul, but of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. What's becoming dull of hearing? Lazy in hearing. Hearing takes attention. Learning in a classroom takes effort. Stay awake, pay attention, focus. It takes discipline. These believers were like, meh, so what? Take it or leave it. And the problem is that because of their sinful attitude, they've forgotten the things they've learned prior. They were probably saved 10, 20, 30 years. You ever ask a question, how can someone be in a Bible-teaching church for decades and still don't know the basics? There's something wrong. They're just sitting there, nothing's soaking through. They're just, sin once again. Sin is a barrier between them and learning doctrine. See, this time you ought to have been bought to be teachers. You have someone, you need someone to teach you. Notice the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the ABCs. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, solid food belongs to those who are full age. Full age means mature. And how do you reach that? Practicing the Word of God. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. How do you reach maturity? Not only just by taking in information, but by applying it consistently in your life. If I don't move my arm, if I'm an invalid, say for instance, and I'm in a bed, and I never move, what's going to happen when I try to get up and walk? Or try to move my arm? Atrophy. you lose muscle loss, you lose the ability to move. And think about the Christian. He doesn't apply the Word of God. It's all just knowledge, or he's living for himself, you know, year after year. He's going to forget even the basics. And that's why doctrine starts to evaporate from his consciousness if he continues on carnal. That's the danger. You lose what you've taken in. And then that's because of carnality. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. We won't look at that, but we know that Paul cannot teach the Corinthian church because there was carnality in the congregation. Sin, once again, prevented them from learning the Word of God. A believer can lose also capacity to honor God. 7. We can lose the ability to honor God. Let's take a look at Psalm 51, back in our song, verses 15 and 19. Two things. Once he's back in fellowship, he wants to praise God. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. That's called worship. Worship is something a Christian will be doing throughout eternity. We'll be praising God. Then our service for God in verse 19. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness. You know, this includes a believer's service. So worship and service. But you know what? We honor God through our what? Praise. Honor God through our service. But if I'm living in carnality, I lose that capacity to honor God. And think about how we can honor God by being obedient to him in our body. One of the ways why we can honor God, 1 Corinthians 7:18-20. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Excuse me, 6:18-20. Let's go back one chapter. Sorry, the prior chapter. Let's look at 6:18. Flee sexual immorality. Remember what Joseph did? Potiphar's wife came to him. What did Joseph do? Ran. As a matter of fact, he ran so fast that Potiphar's wife had his clothes, his outward garment. Ran. And then she tried to use that to say, hey, he forced himself on me. Told him a lie and ended up in jail. But you know what? God promoted him. The second to Pharaoh saved his family, by the way. His family was saved because he was faithful. And, you know, think about a young man out on his own for the first time, away from his family, having responsibility, an attractive woman approaches him. He ran. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God indwells you. You're not your own. God bought you. You are the Lord's servant. You're bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They had this idea that, well, as long as I was, you know, worshiping God or singing praises, I'm okay. Doesn't matter if I committed sexual immorality, because the body's bad. So whatever I did with my body, don't matter. It's called Gnosticism. But that was false. Your body is where God is glorified. And that's why we need to present our body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1-2. One of the first acts as a new believer is, Father, here's my body. Whatever you want to do with it in this life, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours. I don't do that in order to be saved. I just believe on the gospel. I do that to dedicate my life to the Lord. Dedication's different than salvation. Now, look at Romans 1:24. I want to briefly address this issue. If you reject God as creator, and God created this body to honor and glorify Him, you can actually dishonor your body. You ever think about that? 24. Therefore, God gave these individuals that suppress the truth of God's creator to uncleanness and the lust of their heart, to dishonor their body among themselves, meaning not using it for its God-created intention. And this is what we have today with transgender, lesbianism, and homosexuality. God created distinct genders, male, female, that's it. When a man tries to act like a woman, or a woman like a man, he's dishonoring the body that God has given him. They exchange the truth of God, the truth about what? My biology. See that? Verse 25. For the lie, well, the satanic lie. I can cross over, I can switch genders. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Therefore, God gave them up to what? Vile passions. The women exchange a natural use of what is against nature. Women, lesbianism, basically. Homosexuality is in verse 27. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Notice even the desire is evil. Some people say it's only the act that God condemns. It's not the homosexual desire. They were just born that way. Liars. Now, I would say this. They were born with a sin nature. And a sin nature can manifest itself in all kinds of ways, including lusting after other men. But that's still under your control. See, I can choose not to do that, especially as a believer. But here we have, I believe, mainly unsaved individuals who reject God as creator. And it really disturbed me. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I have a friend of mine who lives in New York. He pastors a church in New York. And he says there's an elder in this church, and there's his daughter, 17. Now she won't attend church. She used to take in the Word of God, love. Now she won't attend church. And she's buying into transgender. So she's dressing differently. And she's dressing like a lesbian. You know, and she's going that. And they say now you can go on the internet, and they say that you can imitate famous singers. One app, you can do that. And then lesbian community, they're trying to attract teenagers, and they ask, have you watched this video on how to change your gender? And it's so evil. It's so wicked. Stuff out there today trying to appeal to our youth. That's why I guard. Don't, you know, if you could turn the internet off or don't block it, you're wise. You know, looking back at certain things, hindsight 2020. You know, if you knew what you knew now, there are certain things you'd do differently on how you raise your children. But guard that internet time. Block those sites. It just breaks my heart. I know another particular lady like that who's being deceived by these stuff online about transgender. And it's evil. It's absolutely evil. But the shows portray it as normal. We're the ones who are not normal when we believe God created, you know, two genders. See? They make fun of Christians. Now, a Christian can also lose his reputation. 2 Samuel 12:14. After David sinned, he was confronted by Nathan, if you remember the story. And David owned up to his sin. He said, verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die. He avoided the sin unto death. However, because this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Notice that. You cause other people to blaspheme the God of creation. and your reputation is lost. You represent Christ. We are an ambassador of Christ. When people see us, we say we're Christians, and they see us, and we're doing things that are shameful to Christ, we don't represent him properly. And we have to be careful about our reputation. A good name is chosen to be better than great wealth, as the proverb writer says. So our reputation can be lost. And we want to honor God. John 15:6, this is why I think John 15:6 is speaking of that reputation. You remember Jesus talked about abide in me, remain in fellowship. If anyone does not abide in him, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they, this is not God or angels, but men throw them into the fire and they are burned. Twigs that are not producing fruit, right? What does this mean? I think this means that other people, if you're not producing fruit as a Christian, you're not representing Christ, other people look at you and they reject you. You're ineffective as far as your witness for the Lord. When you compare this to John 13:34-35, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How will other people know that you are a follower of Christ? They see your love. We used to sing a song at camp, they shall know that you are Christians by your love. How will people know that? But if you don't do that, you're a poor representative of Christ. Now, finally, we just a couple more things here. You can lose your health as a Christian. Look at Psalm 32:3-4. Psalm 32:3-4. David said, when I kept silent, meaning when he refused to confess his sins, what happened? His bones grew old. That's a figurative way of saying that he was in agony. His body was racked with pain. My bones grew old. I'm racked with pain. Therefore my groaning all the day long. Maybe you experience some groaning, but that's aging. Here it's discipline. Actually, groaning means screaming. Screaming. So he was in pain all the time as a judgment from God, and he was screaming before he confessed his sins. And in Psalm 51:8, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. So David was in a lot of pain under the heavy hand of God until he confessed his sins. And then finally, if a believer continues down the road of carnality, you know what? You can lose your life. God can take you home early. You're no longer good for me, therefore I'm going to take you home. David avoided this. And we already read this verse, 2 Samuel 12:13. He said, because of this, you acknowledge your sin, you shall not die. David was down the road of death. He was weak physically. He was ill. But he can finally confess his sins before death. Proverbs 7:23. Till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. Who's this person? Person who is following the prostitute. Notice verse 21. With her enticing speech, she causes him to yield. Her flattering lips, she seduces him. Oh, you're the most handsome person ever seen. You just told the last guy 10 minutes ago that. And the guy follows the prostitute. He's a fool. He's a fool. He said, don't you know it will cost you your life? Sexually transmitted disease, possibly. Or God taking your life. And no matter what kind of protection you may use, you're not going to protect yourself from God. You ever think about that? Well, I use protection, it don't matter. I had sex with that prostitute, but hey, you're not going to protect yourself from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, his discipline. And the Corinthian church, who were coming to communion drunk and not sharing their meal, they were, you know, fighting among themselves, they were divisive. He said, for this reason, many are weak. Weak means physical weakness. And then, second stage divine discipline, sick. You're actually ill. Third stage divine discipline, many sleep. These are Christians who have died early. In order to avoid this, we need to judge ourselves, 1 John 1:9, so that we won't be disciplined by God. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. Remember, we saw that in Hebrews 12, God's chastening hand, that we might not be condemned with the world. So, for the Christian, we cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose a lot of things, and we don't want to go that route. We want to be a winner Christian that runs for the prize. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. We pray as Christians we might not be losers, we might not fail to obey you and your commands, but we might be winner Christians. Pay attention to your word and what you have to say to us. Heed it, obey it. Walk by faith and not by sight. Let our light shine before men, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And Father, when we do fail, as we do often, may we own up to sin by acknowledging that. Not trying to cover it up, not trying to blame others, not trying to make excuses, but own it up, own up. And then turn away from that sin and move forward in your plan. Sanctify us through your truth, because your word is truth, Father. Help us to keep walking the light of your word. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.